every 3 months, I'm looking at, okay, what are the goals for each of the companies that I work with? What are my personal goals this year on the next 10 years? And how am I meaningfully moving them forward?
Hey, friend, it's David Dubinsky here in Brooklyn. Here at the Portfolio Career Podcast, we help you take ownership of your portfolio career and design the life that you want to live. A side hustle or a personal project could change your life, like this podcast says for me. Haley Bryant is no stranger to side hustles. She has actually been around and seen side hustles for many years and has worked on them and talks about the power and the benefits of side hustles, how you could potentially integrate them into your life and more. She's currently general manager of Golden Walk, an investment fund, and is a venture partner at the Hustle Fund. She works on both of these at the same time. She previously was the COO of Animals, a content marketing agency that has worked with many leading brands. She has an incredible journey and shares a lot of actionable ideas in this episode around lifestyle design, portfolio careers, angel investing, and so much more. As always, this episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which has the best insights on the podcast and FriendSource job opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Here we go with Haley. Haley, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, David. It's great to be here. Excited to chat with you.
So I'm curious about side hustles. Curious is about how you got started with them. Do you like them? And if you do like them, what do you like about them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I guess I should preface this with my dad, who has been like the king of side hustles for a very long time. He had a career in banking. He was in corporate banking for like 25 years, but developed a passion for Tai Chi when he was very young. He started meditating when he was 12, started learning Tai Chi when he was in his 30s, and started traveling to Hong Kong to study with the family, and even started his own business, running Tai Chi lessons when he was fairly young. So I learned a lot from him and the other entrepreneurs in my family. I'm probably the latest bloomer. But I started exploring side hustles in college. I got into group fitness. I was teaching a bunch of different types of fitness just for fun initially and as a way to stay in shape. And as I taught more and more classes, it became a great way to earn money. And that passion for fitness stayed with me after college. When I left my Apple retail career and got into tech, I had an opportunity to jump back into fitness, opening multiple cycle bar studios in the DMV. And that was a super fun way just to have a different outlet. I had a lot of fun meeting new people, building community, and making pretty good income. I ended up saving just over $50,000 to be able to buy my first condo, so get on the property ladder. So that's kind of where side hustles have a place in my heart. But beyond fitness, I've also explored beyond my current roles, just building out other streams of income by doing advising, working with previous companies I've worked with, working with companies that I think are up and coming and amazing and maybe have gaps to fill while they're waiting to raise capital or make hires. So it's been amazing to me to get to have other streams of revenue and in my career and to see others. And I'd love to touch on some of the other people that have inspired me.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, I'd love to hear.
Yeah, cool. So I guess a couple of people that I've gotten to work the most closely with over the last few years, Jimmy Daly and Devin Bramhall. Jimmy Daly was our VP of Growth at Animals, a B2B SaaS content marketing agency. And he built his own website that had a ton of traffic, great content. And he decided to launch a community a few years back. Super organic, just wanted to bring people in content marketing together. I don't think he thought much about it, wasn't trying to build an audience, but there was a need for it. And I think maybe similar to the Tech Ladies episode you featured recently, it just kind of organically grew. And he was able to actually monetize that in June 2020 when he left Animals and decided to go all in on this business. And he built out multiple revenue streams off of the community, including a freelance marketplace, sponsorships, and courses so that content marketers can grow. So that's been really cool to see him explore. And I think building an audience is just so crucial to be able to pursue that sort of side hustle. Devin Bramhall, the now CEO of Animals, got a ton of experience on the side at her previous job. So she was at Help Scout for a long time and built a following in the Boston content community and startup community. And she decided to launch Boston Content as a way to connect people, but also to add skills that she didn't have to her resume. And she grew that very successfully, hosting tons of events, building her network that way. And that's been huge for her in being able to accelerate her career. And something she talks about often in giving advice to people on our team and beyond and how they can grow their careers more quickly. I've seen this a lot with founders too, though. I think a great example is I think Kay High over at RadReads, who runs the $10,000 work course. He famously quit his job in investment banking to run a blog and to start running courses and really following his passion and helping other people find their passion. Super inspired by him, his writing, and the leverage he's gotten through helping other people, similar to you, David, in finding side hustles that kind of bring their passion and purpose to life. And there's so many founders, I think, who, similar to Sahil from Gumroad, who you interviewed somewhat recently, have used side hustles as a way to learn. Don't wait to start. Get started now, just by doing. One of the founders I've been just blown away by over the last 6 months or so, a gentleman named Abhishek, who runs a company called Covalent. Over the holidays, he built an NFT project, like Thanksgiving weekend, I think. Just dive deep into Web3 and built out this whole flow to create an NFT and automatically generate it for people. And then he documented the whole thing on Twitter. I think that's such a great way to build skills, as well as, you know, increase your income.
Yeah. So you mentioned Kay's kind of $10,000 per hour work mantra, focus, yeah, lifestyle. Do you think about that when you kind of, and we'll get into a little bit more of your kind of portfolio career, but like, do you kind of actively think about like each day and be like, okay, actually, you know, this feels like $1 per hour work, or this feels like $10 per hour. I really want to get to the 10K. And do you, if you do, can you share any examples of like what kind of a 10K per hour, maybe hopefully this conversation is to you, but if it's not this one, but like what are some other examples of like, you know, some things that you found that are like, have found a lot of like leverage? Cause I think like that's kind of important if we're, you know, when we build and grow our portfolio careers is like, okay, how do we focus on the things that really have impact? So we'd love to hear any examples of that with you, Haley.
Yeah, that was a great question. He talks a lot in his course about not just selling your time and really moving from $10 per hour work to $100 per hour to $1,000 per hour. What I've found in working with entrepreneurs, and specifically Jimmy at Superpath, is the opportunity to automate so many of the little things that you don't think about, but they really do add up over time. One of the things that I've done with Jimmy over the last couple of months with his marketplace is just automate customer and freelancer touch points. There are things that at 2 or 3 customers feel really easy, but at 5, 10 plus customers just become really repetitive and draining, right? It's kind of that death by 1,000 cuts. So things like reminding yourself what you need to check in on each week, right? Whether that's through Asana or through an automated email from Zapier, we have a pretty set up flow so that I know, okay, here are the 10 things we want to give updates on each other on each week. So we don't have to go digging around for links or remember what we want to check in on. Reminding freelancers to send invoices, reminding customers to send us briefs so that we're not creating unnecessary bottlenecks. It frees us up to do a lot of the higher leverage work, to build relationships, to give feedback, to be more directional versus just in that place of always catching up, always reacting, which I think, you know, for people listening with multiple streams of income, it's so easy to get into that place. We're doing a lot of little tasks all the time. I have to admit, I'm not perfect in any way with my task management. I don't tag things as $100 tasks, but I do try to be really intentional with my time management. Every 3 months, I look at my calendar and just delete everything on it and totally reset it. So I try to block things out by work stream, So at my current role, I'm the GM of Golden Walk. We work with Superpath and Animals. I'm also a venture partner at Hustle Fund. I have to be really intentional with my time, down to like the 15 minutes. So I every 3 months, I'm looking at, okay, what are the goals for each of the companies that I work with? What are my personal goals this year on the next 10 years? And how am I meaningfully moving them forward? So I color code everything. And then at the end of each week, I reflect on, okay, what went well? What didn't go so well? What did I get done? What didn't I get done? And then I time block for the week ahead based on the goals that I have. So I kind of come into Monday with a game plan. And those Lego pieces will move. I know they're always going to move. I'm not going to get everything done. I think I've finally gotten to a place where I'm okay with that. As long as I'm constantly adjusting, communicating with myself and the people that I'm supporting based on what's highest priority. So I think that reset has been really helpful. Using my calendar as a to-do list has been really helpful. And then honestly, I mean, I'm a little ADHD, as I would imagine some of the polymaths out there are. So having focus by working with other people, I've just fallen in love with Flow Club over the last year. I am an investor there. I've spent some time helping out there last year. They're an online co-working space that kind of brings your time blocking to life. So you want to block an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours out in your workday to get something done. They help you find flow state a lot faster. And the study on this is kind of interesting. McKinsey's done research that says that executives in flow state can be up to 5 times more productive than executives in a standard state. So when you think about that, it's like, okay, you could go into work on a Monday and be done, right? Which is kind of idealistic, maybe. But I definitely believe in the power of flow. And I think the benefit of time blocking is that if you're focusing really intentionally on one thing at a time, you can get into flow to get a lot more done, a lot faster. So that's been huge for time management, organization, and then forcing me to think about what is it that I'm doing and is it valuable? You know, I don't know. How do you think about that, David? It sounds like you have a lot of different things you're working on.
I think the thing that I was trying to think about was, like, I was wondering if, like, do you try to only work on things that maybe, like, aren't as requiring you to be as responsive? Like, what if we only decided to work on projects that are, like, async, you know, deeper focused projects compared to, like, okay, I'm only going to work on this for 10 hours, but, like, those 10 hours, like, I'm sitting there, like, super active, which then that could be, you know, those 10 hours could drain you for the other stuff too. So I was kind of curious about that. If there's any, like,
that's interesting. Yeah. So I have tried to manage my schedule in that way. One of the things that goes into my planning is trying to plan out my deep work time. So I know that I'm most energetic in the mornings, and that's when I do my best thinking work. So typically Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, I'll block out at least 3 hours to just focus on a single project and be, like, super zoned in to the point where I'll get, you know, a Discord message or Slack message or multiple emails from our chairman, like, where are you? You know, because if I'm not responding within 1 minute, he's like, okay, what's happening here? But I think you have to be okay with pushing back a little bit and saying, no, I'm protecting this time. Of course, communicate proactively to people, which is why I try to put so much on my calendar so I can loop folks in and they know kind of what I'm working on. But I do think being aware of your energy is super important. I mean, I was excited to get an afternoon slot on your calendar, David, because I love calls in the afternoon when I'm kind of, like, in that dip, right? Like, post deep work, post lunch. And I think, you know, if you can manage your energy, not even just your time, but your energy, then you can do anything. I really believe that. So, you know, I'm a napper. I do want to become a napping thought leader one day. This is, like, my long-term goal, to be, you know, launch a magazine or something. So taking a nap where it makes sense, doing yoga nidra. One of my best friends is a yoga nidra teacher, which helps you get really deep rest, but, you know, in 10 minutes, 20 minutes, finding those opportunities to reset, taking a walk or, you know, going out with the dog, can all be really helpful too.
Yeah, totally. Well, that was a fascinating idea, by the way, also about, like, if you set up everything on Sunday to make Monday a perfect day, then, like, the rest of the week could be kind of icing on the cake or something like that. That's fascinating to think about.
It's kind of that. I don't know if you've read The Inner Game of Tennis, but that book was so instructive to me. In that book, it talks a lot about self one and self two, and self one's kind of the thinking self and self two is the doing self. And self one screws self two on the regular, right? By overthinking and over engineering things. But really it's like, if you can just set yourself up so that, okay, let's let thinking self create the structure for self two to execute at the highest level. That's kind of how I think about it. It's my calendar is how I manage myself so that every day self two can, you know, just intuitively come out and get work done without overthinking things.
Love that. It has, you mentioned the beginning and I was really curious about it. Was this idea of like working with people in the past, like kind of going back and revisiting with people you worked with in the past. Has there been any, like, I know it seems like it's probably like organic or whatnot, but has there been like a, you know, oh, now that I've developed these new skills and I've been seeing this company grow, I then realized, hey, like they know how I work well together and what I can do. And so, you know, my 10 hours a week is way valuable, more valuable than them hiring a 30 person an hour a week or 40 hours, whatever. Do you think about that a bunch, or has that kind of been, I don't want to say lucky, but like, was that intentional of like, oh, like maybe I can try to work with prior people. Like, you want to share a little bit more about that, Haley?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I have to be honest, I haven't been super intentional about seeking out previous companies that I've worked for to go back and work for them again. It has been somewhat opportunistic. One of the last companies I worked for, a company called Brazen, event marketing platform, they host virtual events and they help companies hire. They exploded during the pandemic. So I got lucky in part because I just have relationships still with the team there. I think that they're amazing. They were a big part of my entry into tech. So I've just kept in touch. If you can't tell, like kind of a chatty person. So I tend to reach out proactively. I'm curious. I ask questions, I touch base. So I saw that, you know, things seemed to be going well and asked if there's any help they needed. And I think within 1 or 2 weeks, I was on calls with their team. So that was a kind of lucky thing. But I think in general, it comes back to the idea of relationships and playing the long-term game, knowing that, you know, not everything is going to lead to today dollars or opportunities or anything at all, right? Don't do it because you're in it for yourself. But just the idea of having relationships, like David, I'd imagine I'll see you one day on a magazine cover or something and people reach out and say, you know, but I do think the relationship piece is really important, being able to see longer term. So, you know, I've also been really lucky to just work with amazing people. So it's been cool to, especially at Animals, get to reach out with to folks after they've left and just to see how well they're doing, to connect and to collaborate, even if that's not working for them or with them, figuring out how we can help each other. So I think relationships is really the foundation of that idea.
Okay. And one thing that kind of sometimes happens with people with portfolio careers, they kind of have maybe like a mission or an umbrella that they work underneath. I mean, you know, companies have missions, but also people kind of like, I care about solving the loneliness epidemic. I care about, you know, employee satisfaction, and they do it in a, you know, and they work on it a couple of different ways. Do you think about that? And like, it seems a little bit like with investing and then, and on a personal level, and then also with some of your work at the Hustle Fund, like that there is maybe some potential kind of like, okay, there's synergies here. I really like this cause. I really like this focus. This is kind of my mission a little bit. Is that fair to say? Do you kind of think about that at all?
Yeah. I love that. And it is so important to have that higher purpose that drives you and gets you out of bed every day. David Brooks wrote an awesome article about, or actually I guess it was a commencement speech, but he kind of talks about the importance of making a commitment, a long-term commitment in your life to something bigger than you, to work, to your family. And I think that absolutely resonates. For me, this more active pursuit of a portfolio career really came to a head in summer of 2020, as I think it did for so many people. I was frozen after George Floyd was murdered. I felt pretty powerless, kind of just seeing myself and the world very differently than I had previously. That led to a lot of soul searching for me and a lot of personal development. And I think I got to a place whereby, you know, January 6th or whatever, 2021, when the coup happened, I was like, all right, there's something I can do. There's stuff we can all do. And it really helped me form this thesis around supporting founders from and or supporting underrepresented communities. An investor that I admire shared, I think when she left Cowboy Ventures, this idea that she invests to serve the girl she used to be. And I just loved that idea, this idea of kind of reaching back in time and creating a path that's clearer for other people. So a lot of the things that drive me in my career now are looking back at my time in retail and helping people find a clear path to a next step if that's something they want to make, right? Upskilling opportunities to get into tech. I mentioned ADHD, like solutions that help solve for ADHD and mental health are really important to me. And then time. I mean, we've talked about energy management, time management. I mean, I think anything that can make us more efficient, I shouldn't say anything because that's, you know, dangerous. And I'm sure there are ethical implications there, but things that make people better and take away a lot of the crap that we have to do as part of, you know, work often that we maybe don't like. I think that those, you know, solutions are so important. One of the companies that Hustle Fund works with called Abstract Ops automates the back office, right? They're like the plumbing for every growth company, taking, you know, making it easier for people to spend less time on HR, on legal, on things like that. And I think that those sorts of solutions are so important so that people can be more connected to their purpose, right? And we can all kind of rise up together in an active pursuit of the future. So I think, you know, the buckets are, there are some sector buckets there, but the overall focus is within communities that, you know, I come from and have supported me and I think are not maybe getting enough love yet, but will, right? If you look at the statistics, I think the current generation is the first generation that will be, you know, majority minority, if that makes sense, which is wild. So things are changing very rapidly there. And I'm that makes me very hopeful, but that informs a lot of my drive and how I think about what I invest in, what I spend my time on.
Yeah. And do you think investing is is that a focus of yours because of maybe thinking like, oh, I want to start accumulating wealth because in, I don't know, 10 years or 5 years, like I'm going to have a different skill set or that the world's going to be changing. So therefore I want to start, you know, kind of accumulating wealth. Has it been any kind of thought that way related to like wealth versus skills and call it like cash compensation and anything you kind of think about there?
Yeah, that's super interesting. So investing for me is about supporting the founders that I mentioned from and or supporting underrepresented opportunities. It's about learning. And then it is about the wealth accumulation to some extent, although, you know, investing is so risky. This is not financial advice. 70% plus of startups fail according to CB Insights. But I do think like, you know, this is something I talk about with some of my Black female friends who are in executive leadership positions, this pressure to move faster, to kind of play catch up, right? And when it comes to generational wealth, I do think that there's just so much to do and there's so many gaps to close. So that is a big part of why I invest, but a big part of it's learning too. I mean, learning has informed everything in my career, really following my curiosity. What investing allows you to do is get a peek behind the curtain of high growth companies and a lot of them across stages, sectors, geographies. So, you know, last week I spent time reading up about Pakistan finance and how underrepresented women are in finance in Pakistan. And that's something I never would have done, you know, if I wasn't investing or thinking about investing in an opportunity in Pakistan. So small example, I think part of it too is just becoming a better operator. Before my current roles, I helped scale a content marketing agency from 2 million to 13 million in ARR. And I learned a lot as an operator, but I have so much more to learn. So it's great to work with founders who are going through that to share advice, but also to see what they're doing differently. So learning is essential as part of that process too.
Okay, cool. And you mentioned that last in 2020, for, you know, for some, you know, difficult reasons, you then started learning more about a portfolio career. I think you maybe took a course and stuff, and you kind of learned about the concept a little bit more, and how maybe it sounds like you think it might be growing more and more. Yeah. What are you kind of, you know, on the ground, or like, you know, with friends, what kind of trends are you seeing? You know, there are other, I don't want to say like tools or tips or that you've seen of how other people have been like, okay, they tried a portfolio career and it just didn't work. I'm doing well because of these reasons. Anything as someone who's kind of, you know, really kind of focused on this lifestyle?
Yeah. So it is something that's newer to me. It was introduced to me last year through a program I took called the Decade Game. And someone said portfolio career. And I was like, that's it. That's what I want to do. I want to be able to work across multiple things. And I set the 10-year goal of being able to work with who I want, where I want, when I want, on what I want, which is very I-centric. But coming back to energy, I think if you are doing the things that you love, if you're working in your zone of genius, that, you know, area that you're amazing at and that energizes you, that you can contribute at your highest level and make a much bigger impact. So I, like, just learning about the concept was mind blowing. In talking with other people, and especially in startups, there is this idea that there's the rise of the decentralized startup that will rely on more people being involved. Elizabeth Yin at Hustle Fund wrote this amazing article last year on the rise of the decentralized startup, kind of using the idea of DAOs, decentralized autonomous organizations, where lots of different people can contribute and not be necessarily loyal to a single organization, but contribute their skill set in a very specific project or way within an organization, and then another organization, and another one, another one. I think part of this is, as you've seen, just how the labor market has changed over the last year. I think the most recent stat I saw was that there are 1.8 job openings for every one unemployed person, which is just insane. So what we're seeing is, right, is that, there are it's definitely a candidate's market, which means that if you want to work in a different way, you have a bit more flexibility. There may be, some negotiating power there. Something that I've definitely seen is more people working part-time, on one or more things. I think this is really important, especially in bringing women back into the workforce after so many were forced to leave through the pandemic. And, you know, any caretaker, not women alone, but So I definitely think, like, at the macro level, the trends are there that position people well to explore these sorts of opportunities. And there's so many marketplaces now to find, great projects. I mentioned Superpath earlier that I work with, but Contra is another one that's on the rise for, today's kind of freelancer across lots of different types of projects. And in talking with friends, it's interesting. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on this, David, because I went to school at UVA. A lot of my friends are in very traditional jobs. So they're in consulting or finance, or they're lawyers, and very impressive people who I look up to and admire. But they're definitely following a more structured career path. And that is not necessarily where I currently am. But I see the benefits of doing that. So I think it's a lifestyle choice. I don't think everyone's going to quit their full-time job and take up five different income streams. But I do think it's great that you're hosting this podcast just to get the word out there to more people that there are other ways of working, and you can design work around your life instead of your life around work.
Yeah. Wow. Well, podcast is, this episode doesn't happen without you, Haley. So, so the 10-year plan. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I am like a sucker for a really good pitch. Okay. I mean, I guess that's like an investor thing too, but, so Carolyn Buckloos, I think she's like 70 now. She's been, in banking and finance for a very long time, built an incredible career, but she's been playing this game for, I guess, 60 years now. And the idea is that in a decade, you have 50,000 hours of waking time. And if the belief is that, Malcolm Gladwell said it's been debunked, whatever, you need 10,000 hours to be great at something. You can be great across five pillars. You can achieve mastery in five things in 10 years if you're intentional. So they think about the pillars in terms of yourself, your craft, your friends and family, and your community, and then your learning. So those are kind of the five pillars they have you focus on. And they say something during the program that's really interesting. You can't get there from here, but you can get here from there. And I think the idea there is to try to help you set that long-term goal so that you can get really present, because we only make progress 1% at a time. And this is something I've learned in Flow Club too. It's, all you can do is show up and make a little progress every day. As long as you keep that big goal, that North Star in mind, like, you're always working towards it, but don't get frustrated if you don't have a great day, or you need a shorter day on a Friday, or, you know, whatever. So it's just been a great perspective for me as someone who, you know, struggles sometimes to focus and asks a lot of questions about why, that can prevent you from being present in a conversation or in the work you do. So yeah, great, great lesson there.
Cool. Love it. Is there anything else that you think that we should talk about related to side hustles, portfolio careers, you know, finding synergies with investing, so you're kind of accumulating wealth while also learning? Anything else that, you want to share, Haley?
Yeah, I guess just on the investing front. So at the same time that I was kind of having that, crisis around purpose, June 2020, I also had the opportunity to write my first angel check, working with one of our team members at Animals, who went off to start his own company called Sacra, a private market research company, and got to meet tons of investors through him. And one of the things that's been really interesting is debunking a lot of the perceptions that I had about investing, that, you know, it's super expensive to get started, that it's super closed. I mean, I found that, you know, you can invest in something for as little as $1,000. There are so many communities out there. One is Hustle Funds Angel Squad, which I work closely with, and I'm of course biased about, because I just, you know, amazing community of people. And then access, right? It is easier to get access than it was 5-10 years ago. Things are being democratized, things are changing in investing. And I think it's just such a great way to meet new people. I'd say about 10%, maybe more, of our Angel Squad community is people who are making a career transition and trying to figure out what's next. And what's cool about joining a community like this at a time like that is that you're surrounded by all these other companies, so many people, you know, founders, emerging fund managers, investors, leaders at huge tech companies, who you can connect with, not just for opportunities to get hired, but for ideas. We've seen some people become founders. We've seen founders raise money through Angel Squad. So I really can't speak enough about the value of angel investing in building a portfolio career and in just making connections and seeing the world a bit differently. So yeah, happy to talk to anyone about that more. But no, this has been just incredible. I really appreciate your time, David.
Thank you so much, Haley. And how could people stay in touch, and how can they keep learning from you? What's the best way? Twitter or?
Yeah. I'm on Twitter, Haley, H-A-L-E-Y-M Bryant. But also feel free to email me on Haley@hustlefundvc.com too.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Haley.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Hey, friend. Thank you for tuning in to this special episode of Portfolio Career Podcast. Would love to hear what you learned and what you enjoyed. You can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, whatever is best for you. And as a reminder, I'm just one email away as well. This episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which includes the best insights from the podcast and friend-sourced opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Thank you so much.